Are you ahead or behind? SBP meets TPS. By this point, we at the St. Bernard Project had been mucking out and rebuilding homes for about 5 years. We had blown right past our original one-year commitment when we realized the recovery was not even close to halfway complete. By 2011, we had welcomed home more than 400 families and learned a lot about construction. But we still had a waiting list of hundreds of families in the parish, and having expanded into New Orleans, a citywide need in the tens of thousands. 5 years after Katrina, people were still living in homes full of mold, with rotten floors, and sometimes without electricity. Hardworking families were living in gutted homes and sheds, sleeping on bare plywood or relatives' couches in far-flung cities, wondering whether they would ever get home. Depression was common. Many blocks were still half empty and too quiet. Added to that, we were clearly coming to the end of an era of norms. In the first few years of rebuilding, our clients were unique, but the construction jobs were pretty similar, repairing storm damage to comparable houses in the St. Bernard Parish. These were mostly three-bedroom, two-bath, slab-on-grade, single-story, brick-facade homes of less than 1,300 square feet. Most houses were already gutted, and we could see what was needed pretty easily. After all, we had worked on hundreds of houses just like these. Now, our inputs were changing. We were working more often in New Orleans, on houses that were vastly different, one from the other, and most held secrets. Open up the kitchen wall on a 90-year-old wood frame house, particularly one that has suffered some repairs by a homeowner in the 1960s, and then a shady contractor in 2006, and an entire construction schedule could get thrown out the window. Work days too often felt like barely controlled chaos. While we readily accepted the idea that our methods had room for improvement, we had plenty of distractions. We started new programs, such as Good Work, Good Pay, that offered a living wage to veterans returning from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and taught them the building trades by our licensed plumbers, electricians, and builders. And we focused on building a great training environment for our young staff. Then a kind soul donated 3 empty lots in the 9th Ward so that we could build affordable housing. We started our first ground-up construction projects and experimented with prefab construction and new materials. We had lots of optimism and enthusiasm. What we did not have was a clear, workable path to improve our mess. And that's when we met Toyota. The then-head of Toyota USA Foundation, Patricia Pineda, heard us give a public presentation about our work. Seated with Pat at dinner afterward, Liz shared her frustrations with the slow pace of recovery. Pat listened patiently and then asked Liz whether she had heard of the Toyota Production System, TPS, and its methods of removing wasted time and resources from processes. It was a conversation that would forever change us, SBP, and our ideas of what is possible in the aftermath of disaster. Pat helped us enlist Toyota as a corporate partner and set up an interview for us with the Toyota Production System Support Center, TSSC. TSSC is a non-for-profit organization dedicated to helping manufacturers, government entities, and nonprofits like SBP reduce waste and increase efficiency by utilizing TPS. We learned that TPS is not just a set of tools, but an integrated management system and philosophy that, though an uncomfortable fit for us at first, and time became inseparable from the way we view the world. Initially, via phone interviews, leaders from TSSC assessed our leadership to make sure we could and would commit to making real change. Then, they agreed to come to Louisiana and take a closer look. So, the global players, the big boys, were going to come to our industrial offices in Chalmette to look at what we were doing and tell us the secrets to making things work on a grand scale. It was easily exciting and unnerving. Zach remembers his nerves. Would SBP even be sophisticated enough to warrant a return visit? Mark Reich, general manager of TSSC, came to SBP headquarters for our initial evaluation. Tall and with a serious disposition, to Zach's mind anyway, Mark sat in our morning meeting with leads from construction and plumbing, electricians, volunteer coordinators, and client services. Our conference room, which doubled as Zach's office, was not large, and there were boxes and stacks of paper piled all around. The walls were covered with pictures, notices, and drawings from our clients' children. Mark sat with us at the cramped table and listened to us as we went around and talked about what the staff and tradespeople were doing that day. Our lead plumber and his crew were doing an initial evaluation at one house, a rough-in of pipes on two houses, and fixing some mistakes on another. The lead electrician cited a similar work schedule, and our volunteer coordinator talked about the number of volunteers we had painting and hanging drywall in houses. At the very least, we thought Mark could see how carefully we were managing our resources. Then Mark said he had a question and asked us, "Do you talk about problems?" Zach nodded enthusiastically. "Absolutely," he said out loud, nodding and smiling, and then looking around the table and noticing that everyone else was shaking their heads no and looking askance. It is doubtful that we even had a common definition of the word problem. If Mark told us he meant any deviation from the standard, we would have had to ask what he meant by standard. This was not the kind of language we used. Mark turned to Liz and asked, "Are you ahead or behind?"
"Of what?" Liz asked.
"Ahead or behind on your schedule, goals, or expectations?" The truth is, we did not know. We did not set firm schedules. People in the building trades were fond of saying that, with old houses especially. There were too many unknowns to set a timeline. We accepted this judgment because we were newcomers to the field and still learning. It didn't seem right to us, but what do we know? Mark also wondered how we managed our client expectations. The truth, again, we did not do a very good job of it. We told our clients, "We're working as fast as we can," but we could not tell them with any real certainty when they might move home. Mark spent the rest of the day going to job sites, touring our warehouse, and talking with site supervisors and tradespeople. When he was done, he told us that he could see two things. One, we passionately wanted to improve, and that was more than half the battle. But two, most of our problems centered on the fact that we were not truly client-focused. This was astonishing. It hurt. We had abandoned our careers, moved away from family, and dedicated our lives and energy to helping people recover from disaster. And yet, our organization wasn't oriented to the client?